All right, Guillermo Mash with the November 24th Black Friday edition of the Chico Vibe. And I'm really, really pleased to have three guests in our production studio for a pre-record. And we're going to be talking about a really cool series of radio plays that were put together at Butte County Juvenile Hall. And we have from Slow Theater, Greg Ellery. Welcome to KZFR, Greg.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning.
And Julia Murphy. Welcome to KZFR, Julia.
Hey, Bill.
And Idea. That's a beautiful name.
I didn't give you my last name.
Your last name.
Oregel.
Oregel.
Try that one.
Oregel?
Oregel.
Oregel?
Yep.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I go by my Guillermo, Spanish for William. So
William,
I love the feel of that.
Memo.
Well, we'll start with you, Idea. Why don't you just tell us what your involvement was in putting these two plays together?
So I've been working with Slow Theater. We've put on a few dance events as fundraisers for other Slow Theater related programs. I also currently work at Catalyst, and I work with programs related to youth also. So because of that, my friend Denver, who's a part of Slow Theater, invited and asked me to help out with this because I really, this is something that I'm also really passionate about. So
yeah, that's everyone in this room is passionate about this.
Yes.
It's just a wonderful thing. What about you, Julia Murphy? I know you've got some history with Juvenile Hall. And
I was an instructional parapro at Table Mountain for 2.5 years. And about 2 years in, this California Arts Council grant came across my radar. There's a component of the grants that is specifically designated for juvenile halls. And I thought, oh, this is amazing. I'm totally going to put something together for this. I went ahead and got in touch with Denver, and he was very interested in putting together a program to involve youth at the hall. It was a long process. We got a grant to plan the grant, and so it took us a year because there were so many moving pieces and partners that had to be included. There's a lot of bureaucracy, as you would imagine, around both BCOE,
Butte County Office of Ed,
and the hall. We submitted the grant. It was either March or, because I remember we got notice that we were funded. It seemed like a very long time later. It was June, I believe. And then we were like, oh, snap, now we have to do it. We've been talking about it for, you know, over a year, and now we have to put it together. And so my role was to just kind of connect all the dots and then step back as Slow Theater folks took on the actual work, the authoring of the program.
Perfect timing for Greg Ellery with Slow Theater. Tell us about these plays, man. What's up with these two 10-minute radio plays?
Well, these are plays that were developed from ideas that the students at Table Mountain School at Butte County Juvenile Hall came up with. We did two different plays for the two different sections out there. There's a detention section, and then there's a what they call the camp section, which is for more of the long-term students out there. And they each put together plays. This year we used a superhero theme. We thought that was something that they could really relate to. Not sure if we're going to keep with the superhero theme. I think for the future, I mean, this was our first time. We obviously learned some things and they have things to work on for next year. Maybe next year we'd like to develop it in more of a non-violent way and see if we can get them to maybe do the same thing. I mean, next semester, expressing the stories in non-violent ways and maybe have heroes who overcome not using violence and using different kinds of methods.
So you're going to do this once a semester or twice a year?
Well, for sure, we're going to go this coming semester. We were definitely, as far as this grant goes and this program goes, we're definitely set up for two. So,
yes,
we're going to start again, I think, in February, I believe.
What are the names of the plays, Greg?
The one from the camp is Table Mountain Terror.
Table Mountain Terror. Let's stop on Table Mountain Terror, Idea, and tell us a little bit about that.
I want to add that these workshops that we've been doing, this is pretty new for us in terms of what writing activities are actually going to get these youth like inspired and motivated and hooked on developing a story, because a lot of these youth have not had to sit down and map out a plot and develop characters. So it was definitely its own challenge doing little writing prompts and breaking things up so that it was easy for them to digest. And we would act out you know, create a little dialogue between character A and character B, and Greg and Denver and I would act them out. And then I think that's when it clicked for them. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wow, okay, I wrote this. And that was actually really, it entertained me and I created it. So little by little, we've been getting more buy-in. And Table Mountain Terror, go ahead, Greg. I think you're better.
Oh, Table Mountain Terror, yes. Well, there's a wicked plot between two supervillains, I believe Lava Man Venom.
Venom.
Supervillains who, a shapeshifter and a lava blaster who decide they're going to threaten this whole area, and they need to be saved by a family of superheroes. Well, people definitely have to listen. These are going to be aired, and they'll definitely have to listen, and then they can get the whole story for
December
sure.
December 7th. December 7th on the Youth for Justice program.
And then after that, these will also be available as podcasts on the Slow Theater website, so people can access both of these plays.
I think they're also going to be linked onto Scott Bailey's Writing Exchange blog. Shout out to Scott Bailey, Writing Exchange, woohoo!
Writing Exchange. And now, what was your role in this, in the physical putting this together, Julia? I mean, and how many sessions? To me, it's unclear. I mean, how many times you guys were up there?
Okay, so the grant was written for 2 9-week sessions. So we had nine weeks to go from probably never having had any theater experience to writing and performing a radio play. And my role in this was basically to sit back and watch everybody work their guts out. I was taking notes, and I sat in on a little bit of the planning, but really this was what I was leaning on these folks to do, is basically what they love to do and are great at, which is working with people to draw out the stories that, you know, we all contain.
And then we're going to work to try to get some of the youth that were involved in the plays here for the January Youth for Justice show, right?
Yeah, I'm going to see if we can make that happen. Nice. I would love for that to happen.
Me
because
too.
One of the things that we all agreed as we were planning the grant was KZFR had a huge role to play, because we were interested in the idea of connecting to the larger community, of still being linked to the larger community, even though you're sort of isolated and marginalized in juvenile hall. So I think that if we can actually get kids into the radio station, then that will be another layer of realness. Like Ide was talking about how when she and Denver and Greg performed the dialogues that the kids had written, it was, you know, that was a light bulb. I think seeing what a radio station actually looks and feels like can be another light bulb.
Folks just joining, we are talking to three wonderful people that were involved with putting two radio plays together at Butte County Juvenile Hall. Greg Ellery with Slow Theater, Julia Murphy, and Ide with Catalyst Domestic Violence. I'm going to stop here, maybe start with you, Greg. We have two more things on our bullets about what you're going to do the next time. A little bit different now that you've done one play, and meant you talk a little bit about using theater games to develop stories.
Right. Basically, we started off doing stuff that myself and Denver were pretty comfortable with, which were theater games. I mean, I have an acting background, and I've done a lot of these kind of theater games where you say you have two characters, but then they have to add an environment, or they're in an environment and they have to add an action, and just adding different elements. And we use this to make them build their story building skills. They develop the ability to communicate and work together to put a story together before we actually got them into a classroom and started working on the play itself. And I think that was really key to get them to learn organically how to tell a story, that they could communicate with each other in that way.
How many youth were involved?
We had pretty stable population in the longer term unit. That's about there's about 15 kids there, and then it was about the same in the detention. That's a little bit more of a fluctuating population. More of the kids are in and out of that portion of it.
One thing that I wanted to add, just hearing you mention some of these workshops and these activities, storytelling activities. One thing that I know, Denver is a criminal defense attorney. One thing that he noticed is that these youth, they have difficulty, you know, expressing themselves, and they are in a lot of situations where they're meeting with their own attorneys or they're speaking to a judge, and they have to tell, essentially, they have to tell their experience, tell a story. And so this was something that we were hoping would help them develop those skills too and feel more confident in themselves, understand how to articulate things and be emotionally truthful. You know, it's a really important piece that I've learned with theater and acting is being emotionally truthful. But in real life, when you communicate, you have to also communicate that. And a lot of these youth are, you know, taught to just be tough, you know. And so these activities, these acting exercises were really helpful for them to express themselves. And I think seeing us be silly, because to them, for us to act and be emotionally truthful in different situations, they thought it was funny. Once they saw us commit to it, they were ready to commit to it and just be playful with it.
And pause right here, because I'm really excited that the other bullet we were looking at for the future editions of these radio plays was Alternatives to Violence Project. And I'm pleased to have, actually, in the studio, Isaac Hempseed, who is a facilitator. Isaac's actually going to be taking on the producer role for Youth for Justice.
Hello, Bill. Thank you.
What were some of the things you were looking at that AVP could provide for storytelling?
I found out about AVP last year, and I was able to take a workshop, and I immediately fell in love with it. As a catalyst advocate, you know, we talk a lot about healthy communication. You know, every relationship experiences conflict. It's just about how you deal with it. And this program in 2 days was able to achieve so many things. You know, there's a space for people to feel safe to talk about things related to our stories. And a lot of the times these are the first moments people have shared traumatic stories or, you know, things from their past, from their childhood. And you create such a cohesive group with individuals that you've just met in a couple days. So we wanted to take that element from AVP, which was to really quickly establish community and understand that even though we come from all walks of life, we all have experienced similar traumas and pains, and it just connects you. And that's what we wanted to bring to Juvenile Hall. I think through theater, it might feel difficult to deal with conflict in person, but through characterization, sometimes we see ourselves in other characters, and through theater, I think it would be therapeutic for kids to discover feelings and express themselves through characters.
Well, you covered a lot on
what
AVP is. That's great. I'll just go a little into the more basics. It's mostly a 2 to 3 day workshop. There's a basic level, an advanced level, and a training for facilitators level. But as you probably did in the basic, we usually do a role play more towards the end where we let the participants and sometimes the facilitators, if there's room for that, act out a certain situation where violence might be involved, but we try to not gear them to not do it, but hope that the previous part of the whole workshop will have given them some tools for their toolkit to come up with nonviolent alternatives to make a situation not go that way and de-escalate. Like with this slow theater, it kind of gives participants some practice in a safe setting where they feel safe around the people who've just gone through sharing some deep stuff, and really give that kind of brain muscle memory to know that there's a lot of different things and ways to do to make a situation nonviolent instead of escalating it.
People want to get involved with AVP in Butte County, Isaac, you know, how would they do that? Is there a website, someplace you can point them?
There's a California state website, avpca.org, where you can find where different workshops are happening. The Chico chapter is listed on that. We try to do community workshops at least once a month, and we do a lot of mini ones. Keisha Haney's our current
facilitator.
She's the boss lady.
Yeah.
There you go.
She's our local chapter coordinator right now. I think she'll keep doing that.
Right, stop right there and have Greg. Greg, you just went to an advanced AVP up in High Desert, right? Is that?
Yeah, it's been a few months ago, but yeah, I did an
advanced. What was your experience?
It was really even a step deeper than the basic. It was, as opposed to 2 days, it was also a 3 day workshop, and people really, really worked harder on and not just expressing themselves, but helping each other express themselves. And we definitely did some some role play stuff. We definitely did some basically like theatrical kind of scene work where you're in a situation and try and find a way of resolving an issue that is inclusive. Basically inclusive, takes in everybody's needs, and people learn to reach consensus and stuff like that. And I found it really, really useful stuff. I'm definitely planning on continuing to both in the community and hopefully back up to High Desert to do more of those seminars.
All right, this has been a real joy. You know, I really, really appreciate it. I can't wait to air these things on the 7th. So for folks listening, we're going to be airing these radio programs December 7th, 6 to 7 p.m. on the Youth for Justice program. And Greg's actually got some cool things going on with Slow Theater next week, right?
The 29th. Next Wednesday, 1 week from today at Cafe Coda, 7 p.m., we're going to continue our speaker series, Chico Speaks. The subject is homelessness. We have several local people who've been involved in different places in the homeless community, and definitely encourage people to come and listen and ask questions.
Yeah, I went to the first one that you did at 1078, the one on journalism. It was excellent.
Oh, yeah, that was wonderful.
It sure was. It sure was. Yeah. Ide?
Well, I just really want to add that I want this program to continue. I hope that we can continue getting funded because it's amazing to see. I wish people could see a video of the kids coming in, and they're in their little space, and they're probably incredibly depressed and have nothing going on inside the juvenile hall that's inspiring. So it's pretty cool to see them come in kind of mopey and grumpy and then transition immediately into kids again, which I really value a lot.
Julia?
I want to just express my deepest gratitude to all of the folks that got on board and made this happen, all of the folks at Table Mountain and the staff, particularly at the juvenile hall. You know you who you are. You're super supportive. And of course, my gratitude to Slow Theater for, again, doing the heavy lifting. To unfold over time, I want to get more money to run this program and see what it can become, because this is just the first iteration of something that I think has legs.